Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you so much for joining us for the Texas Scorecard Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard, and sitting right here next to me, Jacob Asmussen, Central Texas Bureau Chief, really all around senior reporter right now. First of all, thanks for filling in for me last weekend. It was a great program. If you didn't catch it, you had Charles Blaine on from the Urban Reform Institute, Michael Sullivan as well. Great show. Definitely recommend checking that out. But before we go into the big news of the day, big news of the week, rather, we have to talk. I mean, it's the big thing in the room, the debate last night. I mean, if you're watching live with us right now on Facebook, leave a comment. Who do you think won the debate last night? What did you think about it? But Jacob, what did you think about the presidential debate?
Oh, man. Well, to me, it really spelled out the clear choice Americans have in this election. Do we want a businessman who's proven to get things done, to do what he says? Or do we want an old, tired, corrupt politician being propped up by the Democratic Party and the Democratic media who continues to just say empty words even though he's never done anything in his nearly 50 years in public office?
I think the most interesting point that people in Texas specifically were focusing on after last night was towards the end when former Vice President Joe Biden essentially stepped, you know, right into it and said that he wanted to end the oil and gas industry. Of course, in Texas, oil and gas industry, it's the largest in the country, a big, big part of the Texas economy. I think for anybody who thought maybe played along with the idea that Texas could perhaps go blue, at least on the presidential level this time, I think that probably put an end to all of those sorts of thoughts. You had actually a number of Texas Republicans sounding off after the debate. We've got that article up at TexasScorecard.com where we just compiled a few of these posts on Twitter that I saw. You got Ronnie Jackson, who's the Republican House candidate in Texas House District 13, said former Vice President Biden was exposed tonight. He lied constantly. He slurred his speech and couldn't form complete sentences. He advocated amnesty for illegals and he promised to end our energy sector. He proved tonight he's not fit cognitively or ideologically to lead our country. One more here, and you can read the rest of them online. But you got Matt Schaefer, state representative from Tyler, saying Biden will devastate the Texas economy by denying the use of oil and gas, jobs, public school funding, affordable gas and electricity, all devastated. If you didn't know that before, you know it now after watching that debate. So again, we've got a list of these reactions. You can go see them at TexasScorecard.com. But now let's kind of dive into the news stack here. The first story was one that came out yesterday afternoon, a little later in the day. Where you've had the Texas Supreme Court rejecting a pair of lawsuits by the Republican Party upholding drive-through voting. So some background for folks. You had in Houston, Harris County, most populous county in the states, run by Democrats. You have a Democrat county clerk, Chris Hollins, who is in charge of elections and has people might remember this is the same guy who wanted to send out ballots to all registered voters, to over 2.5 million voters in the county. He also has set up these drive-through voting sites. You had a pair of lawsuits, one by the Harris County Republican Party, another by the Republican Party of Texas, that wanted to end this, okay? Because basically the election code, should be noted, does not allow for drive-through voting, curbside voting, any of that. And rather than take up the case and rule on it, the Texas Supreme Court, which by the way is populated entirely by Republicans, went ahead and dismissed it. One wouldn't even take it up, wouldn't issue an opinion. Actually, the only opinion you had was one dissenting opinion from Justice John Devine, who essentially said it's hard to see how creating a drive-through voting process is not simply a way to sidestep the legislature's narrow allowance of curbside voting. So once again, you have a situation where some elected officials are bypassing the legislature, but in this case, you actually have Republican Supreme Court, Republican judges not apparently having the courage to stand up and to take them to task.
Well, absolutely, Brandon. And it's a very concerning point in this election season. You're seeing Democrat officials all over the state and all over the country using the coronavirus pandemic as an excuse to try and work in some very questionable, very fraud-prone election practices to try to kind of sway the election, right? You have Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton coming out earlier this week saying, warning these local administrators that, look, this violates the Texas election code. And it's very concerning given that the Harris County clerk, Chris Hollins, he's a top official in the Texas Democratic Party, right, and already has his own questionable conflict of interest concerns. And so lots of concerns surrounding the security of our election.
And I think there's no better way to summarize the whole issue than you had the Democrat county judge in Harris County immediately celebrating the ruling, saying that the court's ruling was a victory for democracy. You know, I think it's particularly concerning when you have all these Democrat officials praising what when the Republicans failed to act, especially on an issue so important as voting. A lot of concern there. Another story, you actually wrote this one, Jacob. We'll get to the next story here. Are public schools trying to illegally keep parents from withdrawing their kids? Of course, coronavirus, since March, has kept a lot of students at home. Either, schools were shut in the spring. Now schools are mostly open. But a lot of parents are realizing, well, actually, I homeschooled for a couple months. Maybe that's actually the better route. Instead of putting them in school where they're, in a lot of these cases, these kids are basically in bubbles. They've got plexiglass walls. They're having to wear masks. It's just some of these pictures are absolutely silly. And so you've got some parents going out there and saying, we're going to bring the kids home. We're going to do it at home. It's a better experience. And you've got Texas Homeschool Coalition saying some parents are running into problems with those school districts.
That's right, Brandon. They released a report saying that they have gotten a number of complaints from parents saying that, school districts are trying to block them, make it harder for them to withdraw their kids from school, even saying that they're not allowed to make their own decisions, essentially, for their own child's education. And so Texas Homeschool Coalition released this report detailing this, and they also sent a notice to 9,500 school and school district administrators across the state, reminding them of the state policy regarding if you want to withdraw your child from school. So interesting note. I mean, we're seeing this all across the state, just in Austin Public School District, right? They've had over 5,000 students withdraw since the end of last year. In the suburb districts, 1,000, 2,400, And so a lot of parents during these shutdowns are seeing that, maybe there is a better alternative opportunities to educate our children.
And you were homeschooled, right, Jacob?
I was.
Okay. So I was not, but, I have to think, it's a choice for every parent to make, but I mean, goodness, you see what some of the stuff they're teaching the schools right now and the way specifically they're handling this virus, that's certainly an option that I think parents need to be aware of. And by the way, if anybody has problems, if you're a parent who's run into some interference with the school and you're trying to homeschool your child, to go ahead and shoot you an email at jasmussen@texasscorecard.com. We'd love to share your story.
Absolutely.
On that. Another story. This was a really big one this week, actually, on texasscorecard.com. You've got a member of the Republican State Executive Committee endorsing a Democrat for Texas House. Now, what is the State Republican Executive Committee? Brief background. Essentially, it's one man, one woman from all of the state's 31 state Senate districts that are elected at the Republican convention by delegates, and they essentially are the governing body of the Republican Party of Texas, the Texas GOP. They meet every quarter or so, and they actually, they pass resolutions, they plan for convention, they do that sort of thing. Well, you have one newly elected SREC committee woman, Dr. Alma Arredondo Lynch, who made waves this week and actually drew condemnation from the Republican Party of Texas Chairman Alan West for endorsing a Democrat, State Representative Ryan Guillen, for Texas House. Now, it's not as if Ryan Guillen is going unopposed. In fact, he's actually has a Republican opponent. And not only does he have a Republican opponent, but his Republican opponent, Marion Knowlton, was actually the SREC committee woman prior to Ms. Arredondo Lynch. And she says that she's, you know, doing the endorsement because their families have deep ties. He's endorsed by some oil and gas associations. But a lot of questions being raised about whether or not it's appropriate for somebody who is representing the party to be endorsing somebody who is a Democrat.
Well, that's right, Brandon. And Republican Party of Texas Chairman Alan West released this statement. He said, quote, "I find it unconscionable and irresponsible that a member of our Texas SREC would publicly endorse a Democrat candidate for our Texas State House at a time when we fight to retain and possibly expand our Republican majority." So he said that. But even more than that, this isn't just a red team versus blue team thing, right? The candidate that she endorsed, Ryan Guillen, has a horrible record of voting against citizens, right? On the Texas for Fiscal Responsibility Index, he has scored a dismal 31 out of 100. He has a career F rating, and he's voted for things like raising taxes continually, wild spending, right? A Texas Right to Life said he has voted a majority against protections for preborn children. And so this is not just a red team versus blue team thing, but she's endorsing a candidate who has voted for very harmful things against citizens.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was looking at the Fiscal Responsibility Index. There was one, I will say, there was one Republican who actually did score, I think, 1 point less than him, and that was Sarah Davis, who isn't much of a Republican at all. But using that as a segue, you had the Texas Agriculture Commissioner, Sid Miller, coming out and really putting Governor Greg Abbott on notice. Now, he's a statewide official, and he was. Folks might remember there was a protest outside the governor's mansion a couple weeks back. He was one of the speakers there saying that Governor Abbott needs to reopen Texas. And he sent out a pretty strong email recently. It was a fundraising email, but the messaging surrounding it was pretty strong and pretty surprising coming from a statewide official against the governor.
Yeah, well, you're seeing this more and more recently. More statewide officials are speaking out clearer against Governor Abbott, demanding that he allow Texans to provide for their families again. You know, you have Sid Miller saying, quote, "Governor Abbott continues to keep his boot on the neck of every Texan and our economy, even as the costs mount and the benefits diminished." And in his letter, he detailed a little bit of the numbers of the coronavirus in Texas, how it's dwindled, and how he says, "Governor, your cure is worse than the disease." Mm-hmm. And so some very strong language from statewide officials calling out Governor Abbott to reopen the state.
Very strong language indeed. Very, very strong language indeed. And it's something that you're seeing. And as we look at the legislative session coming up in January, when lawmakers are going to return to the Texas Capitol, and they're going to be looking at, you know, what do we do about this current lockdown situation? What do we do more broadly about the governor's emergency executive powers? These are all questions, and it's definitely a frustration you see building up. It's been building up with Texans for quite some time, I think pretty much since they began, but you're really starting to see it amongst elected officials as well. So something that we're going to be following very closely here at Texas Scorecard. And the last story, and actually is a good segue into next week's Monday Texas Minute, and I'll explain that in a second. But Border Patrol law enforcement arrest nearly 300 illegal aliens in the Laredo area. So this is a story. This actually happened a week ago. The reason we're reporting on it now is it didn't get any attention. Okay, it was. You know, you did not see this. I don't think if you turned on CNN, did you see that this happened? But you had 294 individuals who were being smuggled into the United States. A good number of them, by the way, not actually from Mexico, but from other countries being smuggled through Mexico. In four different incidents, in an 18-hour span, were arrested by local police as well as Border Patrol agents. And you know, this is an issue. We put this up earlier this week, but you go back to that debate last night. This was a little bit of a conversation. It did come up during the debate between President Donald Trump and Vice President Joe Biden. And I think Alan West, who's the Republican Party of Texas chairman, said it pretty good. Said pretty much that this incident is proof that voters should reject Democrats in the upcoming election.
Well, that's right, Brandon. And the issue of immigration, you know, isn't just about the families coming over into the country trying to make a better life, right? Really, the issue here is all of the serious danger that open borders cause, right? You have criminals coming in. You have rapists and murderers and cartel members. And something from this report was a large number of the people were from other countries, right? So you're seeing, you know, potential terrorists coming through the country, human traffickers, right? Sex traffickers. And so that is really the issue here. We need to protect our citizens from those kind of people, those kind of criminals coming into our cities and our neighborhoods and being allowed to roam free, right? That's a serious issue. This is not about the normal, you know, good families just trying to make a better life. The issue of immigration is we need to protect our citizens.
Protect our citizens and protect against human trafficking as well. So, you know, people may remember last year you had the Lone Star Agenda, which was this list of priorities, legislative proposals that grassroots citizens from across the state, number of grassroots organizations, signed on to and told Republican lawmakers. Excuse me, a little dry mouth in here. but told Republicans that, look, we had a disappointing legislative session. And so if you want to energize the base, if you want to energize Republicans and really energize Texans at large and independents for sure, then here is a list of things that you can pass. These are things, you know, taxpayer-funded lobbying, pro-life reforms. But the one we're talking about here is curbing illegal immigration and ending human trafficking. And these are really intertwined. And, you know, you can say it's a federal issue. And for sure, when you're talking about Border Patrol and things like that, those are definitely federal issues. But for a long time, the state of Texas has had these magnets. Okay, so things like giving in-state tuition for illegal aliens in our public colleges. That's something that Republicans, some conservatives have tried to end. They filed legislation to end. They will continue to. But it hasn't really gone anywhere, hasn't had a vote on the floor. And in fact, what you've seen is you've had some high-profile Republicans over the past several years actually say they support the measure, okay? I mean, I can even remember the former Governor Rick Perry back in, 2012 or so, saying, you know, if you didn't support it, you didn't have a heart. I think he kind of clarified those comments. It was so long ago. But it just shows you, you know, you put these things in place, these magnets, and they will come. And so you put an end to that. I think a lot of folks, a lot of grassroots folks, a lot of Texans want to see an end to that. And that's something that the state legislature can do. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that in this Monday's Texas Minute email. If you're not signed up for that, we'll go ahead and drop a link there in the comments on Facebook if you're watching, so that you can sign up and learn about that. But that's going to be Monday's Texas Minute email, is talking about ending illegal immigration, what Texas politicians, Texas state politicians can do about it. Jacob, thank you so much for sitting down with me this morning and chatting.
Enjoyed it, Brandon.
Absolutely. Want to give a quick shout out to all the folks watching live on Facebook right now. I got Keisha in Fort Bend, Charles, Blaine, of course, watching from Houston, Tiffany in Deer Park. I love what Bart Chapman says. He says Trump won because Biden just repeated false talking points. I think that's pretty true. We saw that, right? It was like I don't remember who said it, but I mean, you watched Biden, and honestly, about 30 minutes into the debate, it looked like his battery was kind of low. You know, it was like at 10%. So you know, very very interesting. Great comment, Bart. Again, thank you so much for joining us. If you're watching this afterwards and you have any questions, comments, please feel free to leave them down there. But for right now, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. If you like this show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review while you're there. Texas Scorecard offers a growing number of podcasts, so give those a listen and subscribe to them as well. And remember, you can catch the show live and join the conversation every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page.